What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith, hoping all of you guys out there had a fun and safe Memorial Day weekend. I know I had a blast. I drove a few hours north, actually, and caught the Indy 500. If you've never been, it's pretty insane. I mean, it's just cars racing at 220 plus miles per hour, and the element of danger is very much there. You guys might have seen on YouTube a wreck that a driver named Scott Dixon had. Absolutely crazy, but it's always like a big spectacle every Memorial Day. So I was happy to go up there and check that out. Zed was there, Jake Gyllenhaal was there, and most importantly, I was there drinking a spiked lemonade and getting baked by the sun. So I couldn't ask for anything better than that. Except, of course, on the show today, I've got Christian Thompson from Falling in Reverse. Can't ask for anything better than that. Christian's actually a homeboy of mine from the neighborhood. We actually grew up in the same small town. And I was thrilled when he said that he wanted to be a part of the show. I know that his schedule is really hectic, and but he stopped by. We had a small window of time between, you know, when he came home and when he flew back to Los Angeles. So we actually... I was very happy that we were able to get something scheduled, and originally we were going to do an hour. That hour turned into over 2 hours of recorded conversation. So this episode is actually just going to be part one. You guys are going to get a huge two-part conversation with Christian this week. The second part I'm going to be releasing on Thursday morning, so be ready for that. I'm not actually going to make you wait a whole week to hear the exciting conclusion on this one. So you guys are going to get two episodes of the Sean vs. Wild podcast this week. For the first half, Christian and I catch up. We're going to talk about our roots. He's going to talk about how he got started playing guitar, what journey brought him to Los Angeles in the first place. He's going to talk about how he got the gig in Falling in Reverse. He's going to talk about the new album Coming Home, which, I mean, it just blew up on the Billboard charts. I mean, that's a huge deal. And yeah, and speaking of Coming Home, I'm actually going to play for you right off the bat the title track from the album. But before I do that, allow me to take care of some business by telling you all about AudiophileInc.com. Guys, AudiophileInc is the company that I have used for over a decade to handle my screen printing needs. Shane at Audiophile has got your back on t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, track shorts, underwear, and whatever you want printed on them. I use them for all the band's merch and Uh-Huh Baby Yeah and all my other bands. I use them now for all the new podcast stuff. Get a lot of compliments on the quality of the Sean vs. Wild t-shirts. That's just an example of what you're going to get going to Audiophile Inc. Audiophile Inc. is actually located in the heart of Louisville, Kentucky, but Shane's going to ship to all 50 states, so you can get the best deal in town, actually, no matter what town you live in. So check them out, AudiophileInc.com. Again, that's AudiophileInc.com, AudiophileInc.com. All right, guys, without further ado, here is Coming Home by Falling in Reverse.
Be Yes, there is still unclear. The ghost of you lives on. Through everything I see and touch. And even when you're gone, even if it's hard, even when I'm far, I will always be there. Hold on, my dear, I'm coming home. Don't let our fears take control.
Transmission override complete. Initiating self-destruct sequence now.
That was Falling in Reverse with Coming Home. I'm Sean Thriller Smith with the Sean vs. Wild podcast. This is the first part of my conversation with Christian Thompson. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe on iTunes. Hit me with that 5-star rating. Write a review. Say what's up on Twitter, IG, Facebook. Shoot me a message at seanvswild@gmail.com. That's going to be it for me today. Don't forget to tune into part 2 on Thursday. Now, let's get wild. We're just going to make it natural. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just super natch. So, Christian, I'm so glad you're here. This is like the biggest, maybe the biggest moment in Sean vs. Wild podcast history, bro. You just come storming in with a gallon of water, no sleeves.
Yeah.
Just ready to do this.
Yeah.
Ready to do this interview.
I just got done skateboarding, and I went to the gas station and took a piss, and it was very yellow, so I knew I was dehydrated.
So you had to get that gallon of water. Dude, I don't blame you, man.
Yeah.
I'm drinking one pint of Yingling.
Right.
So I got to stay hydrated out there. It's a rough world, man. You know how it is. But yeah, dude, so you're back in town.
Yep. Feels good. I hate Los Angeles, so it feels good to be back here.
Is it a culture shock going from where we grew up to LA? Or was it a culture shock, I guess?
Yeah, it's culture shock in the way that everyone's a phony out there. Like, for the most part. I mean, there's definitely cool people, but...
You sound like Holden Caulfield right now. That's a Catcher in the Rye reference, man.
Yeah, it's... I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like when people say, like, you're Hollywood or something. Like, that's the people they're talking about. Like, are the... obviously, the Hollywood people out there, they're just like... they're just a different breed, man. Like, growing up here, like, it's very humble, you know? Like, everyone's pretty cool for the most part. And you go out there and, like... Everyone's really desperate and thinks
they're... Gotta get our name out there, man. We gotta get...
There's definitely, like, talented people out there. I'm not saying there's... Obviously, it's where everyone talented goes, but there's, like, also the kooks out there who, like, you can tell they're from a small town like us, and they think they're like God's gift.
They're just big fish from a small pond, and then they move into the biggest ocean that they possibly could.
Yeah, dude, like a universe. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy, man. Like, we were out the other night, me and Ronnie, and, or was I even there? I don't remember. Maybe he told me the story. We go out so much, but like, he got into an argument with some girl kind of that he knew, and then like, she yelled back at him. She's like, "I'm famous too." And then like stormed off. And he was just like, "Oh my God, like who says that?"
That's so funny. Cause you would never, hear anyone from around here from the Louisville metro area.
No, like, dude,
you know what? I'm famous too, buddy.
Oh my God.
You know,
it's just like those type of people are everywhere out there, man. Like everyone's like a hot shot. Like it just kind of, drives me crazy. I don't know. Just like just seeing it. And I guess like, I could just never be like that just because of my upbringing, I guess, like the way I was raised and just being surrounded by that. I'm just like, dude, like I love LA. Like the weather's amazing. The restaurants are amazing. But some of the people there, dude, are the worst. Like the worst.
Are you glad to be back home?
Yeah.
In a nutshell, you're saying, man, I'm so glad to be out of there. For how long?
I have a show in Mexico next week, the 27th. It's the 15th right now.
That explains why you're not wearing sleeves, man. You got to try to even that tan out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't blame you.
The shirt's coming off tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, I'll be cutting the grass outside. Exactly. Got to make sure all the tan lines are gone.
Yeah, we have a show next week with Incubus, Good Charlotte, Bullet for My Valentine, and then us.
It's literally the coolest thing I've ever heard.
So sick.
That's like the coolest thing any guest has ever said on my show. And speaking of being on the show, guys, this is the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. I'm here with Christian Thompson, guitarist extraordinaire, absolutely slaying it in Falling in Reverse. And yeah, this is the only time on this podcast so far that I've ever had anyone that's ever had the number one album on the Billboard charts as a guest on the show.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, it is pretty, how would you say, dope?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying in LA these days? Dope?
Dope, that's what the kids are saying. I don't know, I'm 29. I'm out of touch.
Yeah, I know.
I'm actually really out of touch, man. Like when I first joined this band, you know, A Day to Remember.
Yeah, I've heard
right.
of them. Of course, I know their name, but I haven't listened to any of their music per se. So if this was going to be a trivia thing, I'm going to.
That's the same thing for me. Like I heard of them. Like I listened to their, I guess it was their second album. Like back in the day, like 2009 or to 2008, like you know, whatever, and. I was like, oh, they're cool, you know, and I just kind of, like, didn't listen to them anymore, just whatever, and joined this band, and they're on, like, the same management as us, and then, like, I guess, like, Ronnie or someone said something about them. I'm like, oh, they're still doing it? He was like, dude, they're doing, like, 15,000 a night. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, bro, they're still together? Great. And then
All Time Low, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah, All Time Low, and I'm like, oh, they're still a band. They're like, dude, they're huge. And
I was both like, of those oh, bands, you know, not taking anything away from them, but just to be honest with you about being just out of touch.
Yeah.
Because I just turned 31. My birthday was last week. And yeah, those are bands that I know of from Warped Tour, thankfully. Like,
yeah.
But other than that, I don't know much about them.
Yeah, that's pretty much every Warped Tour band for me. Like
right.
every single one of them. I'm like, either like, who is this? Or, oh, they're still doing it? And everyone's just like, they're huge. And I'm like,
they're huge, dude.
I'm like, I don't know, man.
Sorry, it's not Iron Maiden.
Right.
Okay. As you're wearing a sleeveless Iron Maiden shirt.
Exactly. H&M, $5.
H&M has that?
Yeah, this is H&M. That's where I get all my clothes, like almost all of them.
You heard it. H&M, if you're out there, Christian Thompson needs a sponsorship.
Fully endorsed.
Fully please. Endorsed. Just on your graphic tees,
right.
please.
I will not run up a bill. I'll run like $20 a month tops.
Do you think that they had license? Do you think like Bruce Dickinson? Like,
oh, yeah, dude. They make bank.
Do you think Bruce Dickinson flew to the H&M headquarters?
and private jet or whatever.
And he signed that agreement?
Yeah, I know a lot of like Motorhead and what's the big one?
Kiss, probably.
Kiss is a big one.
I would imagine Kiss would probably sell their soul to anybody for like a dollar.
They had caskets. I remember they had caskets.
Dimebag Darrell was buried in one.
No way.
Yes way, Ted.
Wow. I did not know that. That sucks.
that sucks.
You remember Mr. Halter?
I mean, it does suck that he died. Yes. I do remember Mr. Halter.
He got me into Dimebag Darrell. Like, he showed me Pantera. Like, I think Cemetery Gates. like right when I first like kind of started playing guitar, and I was like, dude, this guy's sick. Like bought like four CDs, shot dead the next day. I swear to God.
Damn, dude. Well, you got in like
at the moment,
at the right moment, because you're probably like, yeah, man, I've liked them for like a whole 24 hours before this craze happened.
Right.
What's your favorite Pantera album?
Probably, I don't know. Maybe Vulgar Display.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the jam. I kind of like, I haven't listened to it in so long that I'd have to go back and like really think about it. But that song, Fucking Hostile.
Yeah.
So sick.
Who's not going to get pumped for that?
Yeah. That like, this solo is insane. Like, I don't even know how he does some of those licks. Like,
did you ever check out Pantera when they were like hair metal?
I heard a little bit, like
pre Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
When Dimebag Darrell was Diamond Darrell.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, for some kids out there making it happen in that time, they're not bad.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, but they just got heavier and heavier and heavier.
Yeah. And oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
They're just so Southern.
Super Southern. They like started that, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like they're the most proud Texans.
Yeah, maybe like ever. Lynyrd Skynyrd meets Metallica or something. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Sick. I agree. But yeah, dude, I didn't have you over here just to talk about Pantera, I don't think. But really, we can just talk about Pantera if you want.
Full 2 hours.
This is a 2-hour show dedicated to Pantera. But yeah, man. Number one album on Billboard. I can't get over that. I know you've been over that.
Yeah. Well, for rock, it was number one. Which
In my heart, it was number one also.
Right, in mine too. This sounds weird, and I was talking to Ronnie about this, but he agrees with me, like, because it was number one for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever. Once it hit number one, I kind of just, put the phone down, and I was like, I'm fine now. Like, I got number one, put the phone down, like, I don't care what it is now. Like, as long as it hit number one, that was like my goal, and... Right. That's always been like, I was talking to Jordan Haynes of Artifacts Pareo.
Jordan did the show.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I haven't listened to it yet. I listened to Autumn's.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Autumn Cleveland. She's a sweetheart. And she's so nice.
So sweet.
And have you seen her photos lately? She has gotten jacked.
Yeah, she'll straight trick me out.
She looks like Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat at this
she
point.
She does. She really does. I bet if she did a cosplay, she'd make a bunch of money.
Hey, on my show, I do have a friend that is a cosplayer, so maybe I have to put them together in the same room.
That'd be money.
And make something happen.
And then take a percentage.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what, guys? It's a finder's fee. And I'm going to kick back some to Christian, too. So
So it hit number one on rock. And overall, it was like number seven. I think it was, I believe it was Chainsmokers was number one. And then I think Drake was number two. And then there were two Disney soundtracks, like Moana.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Featuring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The legend himself, who's hopefully going to run for president.
Could you imagine? I would totally...
I saw an article, but I think it was clickbait, but it was like, The Rock Johnson 2020? And I was like, yes!
I could smell what he was cooking.
Yeah.
And you know that's going to be like the campaign slogan.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Smell what I'm cooking.
It's just...
In 20, you know.
Right.
20.
2020.
I almost said 2018, 20. But you just said 2020. Whatever, man. It's been a long day.
Yeah. I'm super tired, actually.
So, yeah, dude. Number one album.
Right. So, it hit number one. Hit, like, number seven overall. I can't remember the other albums that were in front of it.
Metallica, probably. Like, that new Metallica album.
I think Metallica was one of them.
Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Yeah, I think it was.
It's hot right now.
And I was just, like, sitting with him, and I was like, dude, is it... Does this sound weird that, this isn't good enough? And he's like, yeah, like, that's how I feel. He's like, it's never good enough, dude.
Yeah, where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, we want number one overall. Like, gotcha. That's what I want. Like, number one rock is sick. Don't get me wrong. I never thought I would say anything. I never thought I'd be in a band like this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I grew up, like, I just bought a guitar because Brad Hall bought a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
went
to school with him, and, he bought a guitar, like, we kind of bought, like, what each other had, so I got a skateboard, he got a skateboard, I got a basketball, he got one, he bought a guitar, I bought a guitar, it was just kind of that thing.
He's like, hey, well, we're friends, we can do this together now.
Well, we were in marketing class together with his dad was the teacher,
mm-hmm.
and
Mr.
His dad just, like, like, there was one, I think it was freshman year. Well, it had to have been freshman year. His dad just, like, didn't do anything, which was awesome.
You didn't hear that, guys. He did all the work. Teacher of the year, matter of fact.
I mean, he was great, but, like, we did nothing in that class.
Right.
And, like, his dad would just be like, hey, run to the house, which is, like, right across the street. Remember the little side doorway?
Yes, absolutely.
Literally, he'd go like, hey, run to the house, grab me a Diet Coke. Like,
great.
And Brad's like, dude, come with me. And I was like, oh, cool. All right. And, like, we go over there, and then, like, Brad had a guitar one day. And then, like, you know, a few weeks later, he's playing, like, some AC/DC or something. And I was just like, dude, that is sick. Like, I was just watching his fingers. Like, it's not even crazy. It's like A, G, C, or whatever it is.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's basic chords you learn in the first, like, 2 days of lessons. And I was just, like, blown away. So I bought, like, some cheap Telecaster. It's called, like, a JB player. It's, like, JBP. It was terrible. Like, the strings were, like, not evenly spaced. So it would be, like...
It could have used a setup.
Yeah, it was almost like a 9-string guitar missing 3 strings and just pick at random which 3 you want to take off.
Oh,
it
my
was,
God.
It was just like, it was awful looking back, but I had no, like, I didn't know any better.
Yeah, it's like the coolest thing in the world when it's your first right. instrument.
Had some $50 amp. It's probably like $100 for the whole setup.
Right.
And it just sounded like Wasp in a tin can, like the distortion. It was just
nice. Like the Dimebag Darrell, you know,
yeah,
real,
exactly.
That real Dimebag Darrell sound.
Not to get off topic, but one time on YouTube, like way back in the day, I was like, God, this tone sucks. And I got so much flack.
That Dimebag Darrell has
yeah.
a horrible tone?
Yeah.
I will agree with you 100%.
It's like really scooped out and
yeah,
he's sick. I mean, it's iconic tone, but
yeah.
it's awful, I think.
It's not my cup of tea.
No.
I want something that has like a little bit of warmth and depth.
Eddie Van Halen's like the perfect for me. Like his tone is just dialed in.
For me, I'm a big Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath.
Yeah, he's sick too. He has really good tone. Yeah.
So, you know, towards the 80s, man, that guy could really shred. Black Sabbath's just one of my favorite bands ever,
yeah,
period.
I like Black Sabbath. They're pretty good. I need to, like, rediscover them because I got into them.
I got them all right here behind me. I got them all on vinyl here.
Okay.
Well, not all, but I've got, like, the first 6, which are the ones that matter, really.
Yeah, right.
Unless you get the ones with Dio, which also are pretty sick. But I'll learn you some. Maybe after this is over, I'll just throw it on. We'll have
yeah.
a nice...
Okay.
Evening. You know, maybe I'll light some candles. We'll have a nice evening.
My friend kind of like tainted me on Black Sabbath with Dio. Like Dio's obviously will blow Ozzy out of the water in terms of like vocal chops.
Right, exactly.
But it's almost just like, dude, it ain't Black Sabbath.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like Van Hagar. It's
right.
like, I mean,
Sammy
yeah,
Hagar's got a great voice.
Oh my
and
God.
He had a great solo career beforehand.
Yeah.
But it's just not... It's hard to replace that lead singer unless he dies.
That was my... Yes.
You know?
I mean, AC/DC is like really the only band where they
it was,
pulled it off.
And that's because Bon Scott died.
Yeah.
You know?
Choked
they
his own vomit.
Had no choice.
Yeah.
And then they just got somebody that sounded
like
just like him, but like amplified
yeah,
to the next level.
Like 95% the same voice with a higher range kind of thing.
A little bit more power.
Yeah.
So you have this JB player.
Have a JB player.
And you
player.
Have a $50 amp.
$50 just... garbage distortion amp, man. Terrible. But, you know, I didn't know any better. I was just like, I remember going to Far Out Music, and this pisses me off to think about. I think about it all the time. Like, it's one of those things
I'm
that
glad you're over it.
Dude, this happened like 10
this
years
has been
ago.
This haunting my dreams for a decade.
It bothers me so bad. But, like, I went to Far Out Music, and I didn't know how to tune a guitar. Like, you know, I didn't know anything. I took a lesson or nothing yet. It's like, I've had it for like 2 weeks. I'm just like noodling. And my guitar is like super out of tune. And I remember taking it there and I was like, hey man, can you tune this? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I guess, dude, but it's going to cost you. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know any better. And he like charged me like $5 or like $10 to tune it. To like,
that's a ripoff.
Dude.
Why didn't he just give you, or why didn't he just take your $10 and sell you a tuner?
And show me how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a good person would do.
Well, you know what's funny is like I had the exact... Far Out is where I did most of my music commerce
yeah.
for my drums because their drum section is real tight. Tommy up there is a really solid dude. But I always get compliments no matter where I go. It's like, man, the drums are super loud and they're super big sounding. And that's just because Tommy was there in like the 70s and 80s. And
right.
that's how he tunes and that's how yeah. I learned to tune was from him.
So sick.
So all my shit is just like super big and loud sounding.
Yeah, they have a really impressive like drum and keyboard room.
Yeah.
It's like crazy compared to everything else around here, but their guitars are not. I mean, I think you have to have like rights to sell guitars or something, and they don't have anything.
I worked at a music store, and you had to get like, you basically had to like agree to sell X amount of product. And so some of the bigger ones like Fender or Gibson, like, yeah, Guitar Center's going to have it because they move so much.
Yeah.
But they're really expensive for like a small like brick and mortar store like far out would be.
Gotcha.
So that's why every time you go in there's like, hey, we've got the brand new PVs in.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
You're gonna love this.
Or it's like, here's a Yamaha, and you're like, what, they make guitars?
Yeah, hey, I got this Washburn.
Which actually the Yamahas are really good starter guitars. Those Yamaha Strats.
I sold a bunch of them when I worked at a music store. The Christmas that Rocksmith came out, basically there was like a nice bundle. Where it was like you can get a guitar, a little amp, a cord, some picks, and the Rocksmith game, and like the color-coded Rocksmith strings.
Yeah.
And it was like $200 or whatever the case was, which is actually a pretty sweet deal.
Is Rocksmith the game that actually teaches you how to play guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's dope. I back that.
I actually just bought a copy not too long ago because I bought a bass. I was like, you know, I've been playing drums forever. Now I have... extra money now that I'm not touring and I'm doing this, dude, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I bought a bass and I was like, I'm going to learn because it's like a nice, I mean, it's basically, even though it's a stringed instrument, it's pretty rhythm based.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course I'm like that 30-year-old guy that's just like, my fat ass is just like sitting in bed playing Rocksmith, learning how to play like, oh, 18 in Life by Skid Row on bass.
I mean,
you gotta learn sometime,
dude. Yeah, whatever.
You gotta learn sometime.
I'm gonna get a bass pretty soon. I've been wanting to play bass.
Well, dude,
like, I want to get like efficient. Not like, I'm not trying to be Victor Wooten or nothing, but like, I want to learn how to slap and stuff. And like,
yeah,
just so like when I go to record ideas, I don't have to like do MIDI bass.
Right.
I hate that. Like, it just sounds like a computer, and it's like terrible. It's never the same. You know what I mean?
It's like yeah, you got to do that keyboard bass. Did you know one of the most iconic bass lines in history? It's actually recorded on a keyboard. Found out about it. Kind of bummed me out. I'm going to bum you out right now.
What is it?
But the Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Well, it does a bunch of bends that aren't humanly possible.
Man.
Yeah, I saw that article.
When I found that out, I was so bummed.
All those sick bass lines, like in the transitions, and then you find out they're
like a keyboard. That's probably an elite bass player. One of the world class. They probably just flew him in.
That's probably Victor Wooten or something. It's like,
it probably is Victor Wooten himself, man.
No, it's like some Jewish guy with the keyboard. You're like, oh, okay.
They got Les Claypool in here. Oh, no, it's just, you know, Frank.
Yeah.
Frank, the engineer, had a brother that plays a little keyboard. So it's done on a Casio.
Right.
So, okay, now we're all over the place, but hey, that's what that's the fun thing about podcasting is you can just go all over the place. So you're learning, you're getting ripped off tuning.
Dude, Joe Rogan goes all over the place.
That's true.
He's the guy.
I'm just like slightly one step. So what you're saying is I'm pretty close to Joe Rogan. Thank
pretty
you.
Close.
I appreciate that. So how do you go from the same small town as, you know, we went to high school together. How do you go from where we grew up to playing guitar in Falling in Reverse? How do you go from getting ripped off at Far Out Music to, you know, going to LA and being in Falling in Reverse?
Yeah, I actually remember exactly how. So I was on Facebook, and I was thinking about going to Musicians Institute in LA.
Like where they teach you how to record and stuff?
Yeah, and they have like a guitar program too. They have like a guitar, I think a bass, drums, and then recording. They have like kind of everything.
Right.
And I was going to go, it's called GIT, like Guitar Institute of Technology or something like that, like whatever.
Dude, what if their slogan was like GIT, get her done?
Dude, it'd be so sick. I wonder, that's actually not a bad idea.
GIT, if you're listening, get her done.
Also, thanks for... you know, telling me no.
Sorry, you guys are just too darn loud.
Right.
On to the next one.
I wanted to go there, and this was like back in the day. This is not pre-internet, but the internet was in its infancy, kind of, you know, like social media and stuff like that. There was no Facebook. I think MySpace was just starting.
Right. So are we looking at like 2004, 2005?
Yeah, like 2004 or 5. So
that's the year I got a MySpace. I was like one of the first people I knew. Like one of my friends was in the know.
Right.
Do you know Eli Leach?
I heard the name before.
Eli Leach was just in the know. And one day he was older than us and he was like, yeah, there's this thing called MySpace.
And I remember getting it when I was a senior in high school. And then I was like the first person I knew that got it.
Right.
So you were the first people.
You were at the top of like everyone's friends
right,
list.
Yes. It was basically there was Tom and then there was me. And I was actually everyone's automatic number two.
Tila Tequila. And then yeah. Didn't.
Exactly.
Didn't she? No, she's not dead. Never mind. Someone else did. Oh, so
dang.
I dark. Basically had a Guitar World magazine and they had like an article or an advertisement rather. And it was like send your tape in or something, you know? And like.
I mean, they still had you send in a tape?
Yeah, like that's how long ago it was. It was send a tape in of you playing. And,
like a video or like a cassette tape?
Cassette tape.
Okay, damn. They didn't even have like a burn your own CD?
No, dude.
I was burning CDs at that time.
Yeah, but that was like before CDs, like the burners were installed in computers. Like you had to buy the little portable one like and plug it via USB kind of thing.
I remember that one.
You remember that? So, oh, yeah. That was or had like a modified computer just way above my pay grade. So I like recorded a tape of me playing and sent it to him. And I think there was like a something you had to fill out or something. I don't know. But I sent it to him and they just were like, you're not good enough to come here, basically. And I was like, okay. This is like when I was into Hendrix and stuff. I had no idea about shredding.
Right.
Had no idea. Like literally did not know that existed. So I got all bummed out. And a few years later, right when Facebook like kind of started, I saw like I still wanted to go there. That was like for some reason like a dream of mine. I think because like a bunch of guitarists went there.
Right.
Like at this point, I'd heard of shredding like years later, and I was like, oh, I just want to go there and like be one of the shredder dudes and like whatever. I just wanted to like follow the footsteps of a bunch of my idols.
Right. And I want to be like Paul Gilbert.
Exactly. He went there, I think.
Oh, fair enough.
Or maybe he went to Berkeley, but like whatever. Like a bunch of dudes went there. So I was like, oh, okay, they did this. I got to do that. And long story short, I just like some dude in the People You May Know section had Musicians Institute. You know how it says like your job or like where you go to school?
Right.
And I added him, this kid named Jonathan. And like he was my friend for a long time, like years before we talked. And then finally I hit him up and I was like, yo, what's up with MI or whatever? And he's like, he was just like, oh, it's whack. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then like, I guess he clicked on my profile to see who I was.
What is MI?
Musicians Institute.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought we're still in GIT here.
Yeah. GIT, MI. So he like clicked on my profile and saw like my guitar videos, you know, like of me like playing along to like Symphony X and Dream Theater and you know, all that kind of crap. And he was like, he's like, dude, you're really good at guitar. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And then we got to talking, like became like online buddies. And then I started getting into like the metalcore kind of scene, the Warped Tour kind of scene. And that's what his band was in. It was called The Hollowed. And I joined Jovian. You remember Jovian?
I remember Jovian for sure.
Yeah. So I was in Jovian for, I'm not sure how long.
You were in another band too. What other band were you in besides Jovian that was local?
I was in BX3.
I was going to say, were you in Buried But Breathing?
Buried But Breathing.
Yep. Oh, I remember that.
Nothing exists of my, I was only in it for like 2 months and we played one show and then like the guitarist did like acid and was like, guys, I'm over it. I'm playing folk music now.
You know what, dude? This acid's literally changed my perspective on shit.
I swear to God, he did acid and then he was just like, I'm doing folk music now. See ya. And we were like, okay. And he was like, there's not many adequate guitar players in Louisville. That sounds like really, I guess, like mean to say. But at that time, there was no one. And like he could do sweeps and stuff. And he was pretty good. And so, you know, if I showed him an idea, it wasn't like out of his realm. He could like kind of figure it out at worst. And he quit. And then everyone was just like, yeah, it's over. And then the bass player, like actually, he quit at practice. He's like, yeah, after this show, I'm just doing folk music. And then the bass player just goes, yeah, I'm going to be like working at a funeral now. Like, I really want to work with dead people. And I was just like, okay.
Man, you got it. You got out.
Dude,
it's the best time.
It was just really weird. He's like, I want to be a mortician. And it just came out of nowhere. It's like he made it up. And
Do you think he's a mortician now?
No, he's definitely not. Because I know who he is.
He's definitely not.
He's definitely not. He's just like hanging out at Tap Room every Friday, like wasted.
Definitely seen him there. Every time I go to Tap Room, I'm like, I don't go there all the time.
Yeah.
But every time I go there, it's like the last place, the last stop for the night. So every time I go there, I'm just like the biggest mess.
Yeah.
You know.
It's either for
and
me.
And then I want to leave because I'm like, dude, I'm just too drunk to be here.
Oh, dude, that place is dangerous.
Like, no joke.
It's dangerous because I don't know what it is, but like you'll just get like a whiskey Coke and you'll watch them and it's just like, and then Coke. And you're like, oh my God. Dude, it's like $2.
It brings the demons out in you, dude. It's too economical.
Yeah.
It's too good of a deal.
It is.
Guys, if you want to have a great deal, you got to go to Tap Room.
Yeah, Tap Room on, what is it, Bardstown?
Bardstown Road.
Yeah. So the band like broke up right there. We played like one show at Uncle Pleasant's.
Oh, Uncle Pleasant's. I was going to say, was that a Bulldog Cafe?
Or that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Bulldog Cafe.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I messaged you when you did a live video the other day, and it was just like, did you ever play Bulldog Cafe? You remember that the lady in the wheelchair on the oxygen that was just always there?
Yeah. She owned it, right?
I don't know if she owned it or if like her sons or some sort of family owned it. But unfortunately, I felt so bad for her because she was always there just listening to like the worst metal.
Yeah,
the worst metalcore. The worst.
I remember seeing her. Like, I think there was like a UK game or something on, and I was like looking at the TV, watching the score, like in the back. And then I turned around and looked at her, and she just had like this concerned look on her face, and Decapitated was playing before their drummer died.
Could you imagine, like,
and she's just like sitting there, like, she's like 90.
Yeah, I was gonna say easily 90 years old.
She's just like, how the hell did we get from Frank Sinatra to this?
Like, right, this is what I'm subjected to.
Dude, she was just so bummed all the time.
Dude, that's probably, yeah, she probably was just bummed. She's probably just looking at what everybody's doing and be like, nah. So, I remember good music.
Right, this is not it. And it's funny because like, I hate that kind of music now.
Never into it. I always missed the boat on it. I didn't have to have and I still don't have to have like the heaviest music.
Yeah.
I like to have music that's pleasurable to my ears.
I mean, I definitely like some heavy bands, like for sure.
Yeah.
But few and far between now, man.
I like heavy bands, but to me, like, I don't like the heaviest bands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's still got to have some melody or a chorus to go back to.
Right.
Or maybe some discernible vocals. But again, that's just because...
Or just has like a groove or something.
Right, yeah. It's got to have something that I keep coming back to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate a good breakdown, but I don't know. At the same time, I'm just so over it because I've been in this scene since 2004. So it's just like when bands come out now and they're doing like the Cookie Monster vocals and like breakdowns and like the... I'm just like, what are you doing? Like,
right.
This has been done.
It's been done a lot.
It's like plagiarism. It's been done a lot, and it's been beaten to death. Like, I can't stand to hear that now. Like, I just laugh. Like, we at practice, like, I'll play those riffs, and we just, like, die laughing. Because we're just like, could you imagine if we put that out?
And we just listen to those riffs, and we just laugh.
Yeah.
We just sit back. So how do you get into Falling in Reverse?
Okay, yeah, let's get back to that.
bro, this podcast is just going to be one question overarching the whole thing. So how did you get into Falling in Reverse?
Sorry. All right, so added this kid on Facebook. He sees my videos. He's like, you're really good. And then eventually he's like, I'm in Buried But Breathing. That breaks up. I joined Jovian like years later, probably like 5 years later, like way after that. I quit Jovian because we like dropped an album and I just like, I wasn't really in it. You know what I mean? Like when we were recording it, I just like showed up. I remember like I showed up, I think it was like $200 or something. We each had to drop in. I just like handed him $200 and like recorded my part and just left. Because I think it was our drummer. Yeah, it was our drummer. He was like, he's a good drummer, but he was just like overtly complicated. And I was just like, dude, just do like a boop, 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 boop. And he's just like, no. And I'm just like, dude, that's not catchy. Like, that, I don't know. And I'd just be like, he'd be like, oh, I need to think of a fill here. And I'd just be like, dude, just do like a, you know, like a drummer. Like a just
do like a, or just do like a kid-a-da-da-da.
Yeah, perfect. Just, you know. Something really simple. I'd like, and he'd be like, "No, dude, I'm not doing that." And so, we went to record the drums of that album, and he was like, "We each had a day. It was a day of drums, day of bass, day of like rhythm guitar, day of lead guitar, then like I think one day of vocals." So it was like 5 day process, and he's like, it was only four songs, and he just like screwed up the drums. So it took him like 2.5 days to record the drums. So we were like pressed for time. And I remember just being so pissed off about that. And I recorded all my parts in like 30 minutes and just left. And then we played the show, and just like the way it got released, it like we released it and then did nothing after that.
That's a bold business strategy. Yeah.
And I was just like sitting there, and I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't know. And I just quit. Like, I'm still friends with like Nick Spencer.
Right.
He's amazing, dude. He's like one of the best guitarists like that I know, period. Mm-hmm. His riffs are some of the stuff he did like changed the way I looked at guitar. Like he would write a riff for Jovian and show it to me, and I would just be like, oh my God, like
I wouldn't have even come up with that.
Yeah,
dude, in my wildest imagination.
It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just like learning a new color or something. I was just like, oh my God, that's possible. Like, I didn't know that chord shape was even a thing. Like, he had the most crazy chords. So, quit that band. And then that Jonathan kid who I added, eventually was just like, hey man, are you like doing anything this summer? And I was like, no. And I hated my job. I was working at General Electric, or like a subsidiary, but GE basically.
My grandpa retired from GE, actually.
I mean, dude, it's a good job, but I was just like,
37 years, perfect attendance. Shout out.
Oh, wow. To my papa. That's amazing, actually. Yeah, I missed probably 9 days my first month or something.
I was close to perfect attendance. I basically missed a third of a month first month.
I hated my boss. He was the worst. He just had it out for me. Like, he was just like, you're a long-haired punk, brr. You know what I mean? Just like old dude. He was like a vet. And
an animal doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was he doing working at GE? My
God, he was the worst. I'm not going to say his name, but he sucks. And I just hated my job. And I was just ready for something new. And I had a bunch of money in my bank account from that job. And Jonathan hit me up. He's like, you doing anything? I was like, no. And he's like, all right, man, well, if you want to move out here to Anaheim with me, like Orange County, I'll pay for your rent and you play guitar for my band. So I was just like, see ya. Like, literally, like,
peace.
Put in my 2 weeks and then drove to California. And at the time, he told me, he's like, yeah, dude, like, I'll get you an endorsement with ESP Guitars, just like whatever. I'll get you this company, that company. I know this guy. We're going to go on tour with We Came as Romans. Got all this stuff lined up. And I was just like, dude, sick. Like, hell yeah, you know? So I drive out there. And then, like, I remember my first band practice. And this is going to sound like kind of arrogant for me to say it, but it just like, it was weird. I went in there and I like plug in and everyone's just kind of, you know, noodling around and stuff, like checking their tones. And I just start ripping some licks out. And they were just kind of standing there staring at me, and I wasn't paying attention, and I was just like going off. And then like I look up and they're all just kind of like staring at me, and I was like, okay. And they were like, they go, dude, what are you doing here? And I was like, what? And they're like, what are you doing in this band? And I was like,
that's not a great start.
Not a good start, dude. You don't want to hear that.
What are you doing here? You're just really, really talented.
I was like, yeah, dude. I was just sitting there and I was like, my heart dropped because I was like, that's not a good thing to hear, dude. Like, it's a compliment, but it's like not, it's not good.
Not when you pack up your entire life.
Exactly.
And move to Beverly Hills.
And you spend like $2,000 of your own money, like the first 2 days you're there, you know, and you're just like kind of broke already. And they're just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing here, man? And I was like, I'm trying to like play music. And they were like, yeah, I don't know what you think this is, but you shouldn't be here. And I was just like, oh my God, dude.
Could have told me that yesterday.
Right. And it was so crazy to hear that. And it just kind of bummed me out and like left a bad taste in my mouth like instantly. And this kid, Jonathan, dude, he just like talked the talk, you know?
Right.
And like he got me a guitar with ESP and all this stuff. So I was kind of like, maybe they were wrong. Like maybe things are starting to pick up and yeah, I don't know. But very quickly, I learned that he was just all talk. Like, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So, he was kind of like the head honcho, like the maestro, like wrote all the music, we were there to perform kind of thing.
Right.
Like, that was, nobody wrote anything, like, nobody in the band had any say. It was him. Like, basically, I don't know. He was like the maestro, and he thought he was like this big business-minded dude and like knew what he was doing. And it just became apparent, like, super quickly that he was not qualified.
Yeah, he thought he was Marky Mark and you guys were the Funky Bunch. Is that what you're saying?
So, here's how I found out he was full of crap. Riding in the car with him, like, 3 days after I first got there, like, after the first band practice or something. And he's like, oh, you skateboard, right? And I was like, yeah. And, like, I've been skateboarding since 1999. And I'm not, like, crazy good or anything, but, like, I'm pretty good at skating. Definitely not, like, getting boards for free or nothing like that. But, like, I'm good. I can handle myself.
Yeah, you can, yeah, ride.
I can do a couple tricks.
Yeah, I know a few things.
A trick or two. And he's like, yeah, I used to skate. And I hear that all the time. Like, everyone says they used to skate. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, whatever. And then he's like, yeah, man, I got hurt skating vert ramp. And I was like, okay. And I thought that, like, instantly in my head, I go, nobody skates vert. Like, that's not
Tony
a thing.
Hawk.
Nobody skates vert. Like, the people that skate vert, like, go pro. Because nobody skates vert. And I was just like, that's a little weird. And then he goes, yeah, so, like, I did a 180. And then I came up on the other side, did a 360. Did a 540. Did a 720. Did a 900. Went to do a 1080, spun out, hurt my ankle. And I was just sitting there in the passenger seat, and I just, like, wanted to crawl up my own asshole.
Dude, I rolled an ankle trying to do a 1080.
I was like, okay, well, up until the 1080, that's the most impressive thing that's ever been done on a skateboard.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's insane that you did that, quote unquote.
Dude, you did a 900, so did Tony Hawk. It made his entire career.
It made history. It was legendary. You did it casually.
Dude, yeah. Oh, man, I rolled my ankle.
After 4,000 degrees of spinning before that. So I was just like, I was just sitting there, and I was like, oh, no.
You know he played 1080 for, like, the snowboarding game for N64. Yeah. That's where he came up with 1080.
I was just sitting there, and I was like, oh, my God, no. Like, no, this guy's a liar. Like, this dude's he's a liar. Because to explain that to people that know skateboarding, that's like saying you beat, like, Steph Curry in a game of horse, and then you mopped Michael Jordan, and then you went over to Scottie Pippen, you mopped him, you went to LeBron, you mopped him. It's just like, dude, you didn't do that.
Yeah, you totally didn't.
So that's how insane it is.
Aaron Carter couldn't even dunk on Shaq unless it was in a dream. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah, I dunked on Shaq. I actually jumped over his head. You're just like, wow, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent. So I was just sitting there. I was like, oh my God, this kid's a liar. This is not good. And then, you know, Chain Reaction over in Anaheim? It's like a venue.
Yes, actually.
It's like kind of a legendary venue. Like, a lot of bands got their start there. Like, pretty much every band that you've heard of from, like, 2000, in the early 2000s to, like, 2010-ish, like, any kind of Warped Tour metal band, pretty much got their start there, like, 90% of them. So he's like, oh, we got a show at Chain Reaction with Hands Like Houses, Slaves, and Nightmares, this band Nightmares. And I was like, they're all, like, signed or whatever. So I was like, oh my God, like, first show, sick. Played it. Sold out Chain Reaction. It was only like 300 people, but I was stoked on that.
Yeah, that's pretty big business.
Yeah, like, you know? I was like, yes, that's the most people ever. I was playing in front of 5 people at Spinelli's, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So I was stoked, dude, and it was a good show. And then I found out, like, or maybe I knew this already, but basically we only got the show because Hands Like Houses didn't have a van. Their van broke down, and Jonathan let him borrow his, and he's like, I'll let you borrow this if you let us open up. So I thought we were getting it, like, legit, I think, at the time.
Yeah, like, you just earned it or whatever, the cred, yeah, like there built was some, up or something.
Right, there was some hype or something. I think I thought that. I could be wrong. Maybe I knew. But anyways, I was just kind of like, well, we got our foot in the door, so that's good. And then the second show we played at Chain Reaction again a couple months later, and, like, 6 people showed up. And I was just like, this is not good.
It could have possibly been that Hands Like Houses sold all these tickets.
Right. Slaves. Okay. Maybe they had something to do with this. So I was really bummed on that. And he promised, I think it was our CD release show maybe. And he just kind of, like, hyped it up, and then, like, nobody showed up, you know. I was really bummed. And just, like, the way he was running things. I hate to, like, bash a guy for 20 minutes, but he's the worst. I'm sorry, dude. If you hear this, you're the worst. I know he'll hear it, but... He's
the worst, but he's kind of the best because he put you
he is the best.
In the right place at the right time.
So we had this 4-song EP, and the plan was to drop a lyric video 4 weeks consecutively. So one week, won the next, won the next, won the next. And the music video was the last one. And I remember, like, the first week came, we dropped it, and then the second week was coming up, and I was like, yeah, dude, I haven't seen the video yet. Can I see the video? And he's like, oh, it's not done. And I was like, you put a release date out, dude, and you don't have the video yet?
Remember when we told everybody it was going to be next week?
Right. So I was just sitting there, and I was like, you're going to get it, like, soon, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, the guy's good for it. He's good for it. I was like, okay. And I was thinking in my head, like, dude, this is not how you do this. You're supposed to get everything ready and then sprinkle it out whenever you want. Like, that's how I think you should do it.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about music. I'm very brand new to this, but this doesn't seem right.
You know, when you make a promise to everybody out there, it seems like you should just, you know, make good on it. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Live up to your word, maybe.
Hey, maybe that's a thing. So try that out next time.
The video didn't drop, and the next one didn't. And I was just like, dude, what are you doing? You know? And then we, like, released the EP, and it, I don't know how many copies it sold, but it couldn't have been more than, like, 100. Like, nobody cared. And at that point, I was just, like, broke. I was literally living off of Denny's. The 2-4-6-8 menu was, like, the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
I like your style.
There was a Denny's, like, a block to my left, and I went there every day, and McDonald's, and I was just eating garbage looking back, but I was so broke, you know what I mean? And I was working at Guitar Center, which is the worst job ever. You ever worked there?
No, I worked at a music store that was more brick and mortar that was probably just as bad.
It's like, you know when you have to sell, like, add-ons?
Like, hey, do you want that 1-year extended warranty?
Exactly. And like, hey, do you want a string card to go with your strings? You get a pack of free... And it's just like, oh my God, I hate doing that to people because I'm just looking in their eyes. It drives me nuts when I hear that stuff. I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. No, 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 no. Just the strings. No.
Upsell.
And you... And your manager's standing there with his arms crossed, like, nodding his head, like, now the next one. Say the next one. And you're like, okay, would you like to... No, I don't want that. I just want the strings. Okay. Would you like to try... And he's just like, dude, I was going crazy. I was like, I got to get out of here. So I was just like, hey, man, I'm going to go home for a little bit. And I came back here, and then I flew back out for NAMM. And I don't know. It was really cool. NAMM was awesome. Like, seeing... I saw a bunch of dudes in, like, Black Sabbath. Saw Steve Vai. Just, like, famous people walking around,
right, yeah.
Like, casual. It was crazy. And then you see, like, the most ridiculous instruments, guitars and stuff. You get to play them. And after I came back home after that, and then I just, like, I don't remember what happened. Actually, I do. I just don't want to say it on the podcast, but I was just like, dude, I quit. Like, I'm over this.
Right.
Basically, like, I'm not going to say he stole something from me, but he kind of, like, led me to believe that this guitar was mine. And then when I went to, like, put some pickups in it, he was like, I bought like $400 pickups. And he was like, oh, you can't use those because I'm endorsed by, like, Lace pickups. And I was like, it's my guitar. Like, I should be able to put whatever I want in it. And he goes, oh, whoa, not your guitar, my guitar. And I was just like, dude, I picked it out and everything. Like, what, you took me to pick it out and
right, yeah.
We got it. And what, like, what's the deal here?
Didn't know there was this Lace clause.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, dude, well, there's a lot of other stuff going on, and that pisses me off, so I quit. Like, I'm out. And then the next day, the rest of the band quit, so it was just him. Like, everyone was just over it. Like, basically, when I quit, they were just like, the cards fell.
Yeah.
I pulled a card out from the bottom. It toppled. So, through him, he ended up joining Falling in Reverse for one tour, like, prior to me quitting, and I met everyone through him. So he played bass for one tour with Black Veil Brides. They did like a co-headliner. And I met Ronnie and Jackie and Derek and Ryan and Zach. And met all those dudes. And they were super cool and they liked me. Like, especially Ronnie. Like, Ronnie, like, really liked me for whatever reason. We, like, texted and stuff. And he used to skate. So we'd, like, send skate clips to each other. Like, oh my God, you see what this dude did? And, like, so we just, like, broed out that way. And, then one day he just calls me and he's like, hey man, you know what this is about? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so you want to do it? And I was just like, yeah. And he's like, cool. Well, we have a show in 3 weeks. Here's 27 songs. Learn these. See you in 2 weeks for rehearsals. And I was just like, oh my God. So, like, I went to my boss. I'm like, hey man, at this point, I had another boss. He was super cool. I actually went back to work at GE, new management, tight dude. He's like, hey, man, go live your dream. Super cool. He's like, you ever want to come back? you got a job here. And I was like, awesome. So I ended up flying out to Los Angeles and just like, I learned 27 songs in 2 weeks, which is insane.
That is absolutely insane. Yes.
Also, they have like, you know, 19 guitar solos that are nuts. Like, not easy guitar solos.
Right.
And
you had to memorize that.
Had to memorize it, which was, luckily I was already a fan of the band.
Like, yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
for sure.
My dad, I remember, took me to Ear Ecstasy, like back in the day, and I bought the Escape the Fate EP.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 5-song EP. I bought that and followed like Ronnie like ever since. So got the next album, then he went to prison, and I was always searching his name and like seeing like, oh, when's he get out, like what's he up to, and I'm like, oh my god, he's formed this new band, Falling Reverse Sick, and like they put out a song, it was awesome, and I was a fan, you know, and which really helped, because I'm not really a fan of like that kind of music, for like, you know, like I said, I don't know any Warped Tour bands, like I don't know right. That kind of stuff. And
well, you can tell by just your caliber of playing, it seems like. I mean, not to be, that sounds kind of offensive, but like with your caliber of playing, you can tell that you're more into probably more classically,
yeah,
shredding type guitarists and stuff like that. And
I love Muse.
Oh yeah,
Muse is like very classical inspired, like yeah. Rock and roll.
Matt Bellamy is the dude, man.
He's the best.
His ideas, his piano work, his guitar Dude, work, his piano vocals, work, the lyrics.
His piano work is insane.
Muse will probably be, I mean, for rock and roll, which doesn't hardly even really exist too much anymore, yeah. Like they are, like them and like Foo Fighters are like the,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
Are like the two bands that come to mind for me are just like, these are still
yeah.
Rocking, like rock and roll.
Doing like arenas, like
right, exactly.
Giant arenas, like 90,000 people.
Right. And you don't do that unless you like Coldplay.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't really care for them that much.
I used to be pretty into Coldplay. Not that I dislike them. They just have went into different directions and stuff yeah. Like that. But, you know, they're still cool.
I like it.
I used it's to be just, really into Oasis. Like
when I love Oasis. That's, yeah. That's my favorite band.
That's awesome. I saw Noel Gallagher a couple years ago at the Palace. And
is it High Flying Birds?
Yeah, High yeah. Flying Birds. They were awesome.
Amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Everybody's on the Run's like one of my favorite songs.
Man, I still just love like Don't Look Back in Anger.
It's they're
classic. Dude,
it's so crazy to think that the first two albums that Noel Gallagher wrote sold 40 million copies.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen now.
Exactly. And honestly, I'm surprised that they just kind of did it at that time because
yeah.
Like grunge was like at the end.
Yep.
And then like nu metal was a thing, and then here comes like a band that just kind of sounds like, you know, hey, I really like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Sell 40 million albums.
And they're just like normal dudes, you know what I mean?
Like, and like their band is huge everywhere in the, everywhere except for like the United States.
Yeah.
Like they're like the biggest band ever.
Yeah.
Except in the US where so they weird. Were like, hey, that was a great late 90s band.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's kind of weird. Like people know Wonderwall.
Yeah. Or Champagne Supernova.
That's it.
Or sorry. Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, like they have 40,000 number one hits. Like how do you not? People, I don't know, just didn't translate over here or something. Like, I don't know what it was.
I love them.
I think they were like, people are too busy listening to like Rhythm as a Dancer over here.
LaBouche. Yeah, too much LaBouche going on. They're listening to Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Well, here it is. You know, Oasis is making some really killer tracks
right.
Over in the UK. So, hey, man, I'm glad that from like, here we are almost 1 hour into the podcast.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dude, time flies when you're podcasting.
Jesus.
So we're definitely going to have to do like a part two, part three, however many parts
yeah,
you want to do.
Fine. Yeah.
Because whatever. But I do like it that we finally did answer that question of how you got into Falling in Reverse.
So yeah, basically I added some dude on Facebook and he played bass for Falling in Reverse just luckily. And through them, I met everyone and then they gave me the call and suddenly they threw me into the fire and I'm doing a headlining tour.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And then you have like an album, number one album.
Yeah.
On Billboard.
Yeah.
I love the new album, by the way. And I'll tell you, just in all honesty, like Falling in Reverse was a band that I found out about when we played Warped Tour in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, it was a big shit, like Ronnie Radke and Falling in Reverse. You got to check these dudes out. And I didn't really know who they were. And meeting some of the dudes, I met Ronnie. I talked to him like maybe just a handful of times. We went and saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Very dope.
For like the tour.
Yeah.
And he's like sat in front of me.
and he was eating ice cream. And so like we had like a 2 second bonding moment was like, oh, I also too like ice cream sandwiches in the movie theater, you know? But he's cool. And Bile, like you, do you know Bile?
Yeah, Bile.
I got to get him on the show too, because his music, his rap stuff that he's doing is going to be
actually
so sick.
I met Ronnie at a Bile show in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. That's where I met him. He showed me Just Like You before it came out. He's like, oh, you want to hear the new album, dude? And I was like, yeah, sure. He actually knew who I was. It's kind of weird, because I showed up with Jonathan. I think that was the first time we met him, like before Jonathan had done any practices or anything for him. And Ronnie was like, looked at me, and he's like, oh, dude, I've seen your guitar videos. You're ridiculous at guitar. And I was just like, oh, my God. Because, like, I was a fan of Ronnie Radke, you know?
Right.
Which is so weird to say, because he's, like, my friend now, and I'm in a band with him. But I was a fan. You know what I mean? I'm just, like, anyone listening to this, I'm like...
You're just like that dude from the Philippines that's in Journey now.
Exactly, dude. Yeah.
So just like that guy.
I was like, oh, my God, he knows who I am. And he's like, do you want to hear the new album? And he showed me a couple songs. And I was like, dude, this is sick. Like, this is tight. And then all of a sudden, I'm playing those songs on stage. And had, you know, maybe... 9 shows prior to joining this band experience, like no experience. It was just like, hey man, we're going to do 20 songs live. You know, see you in 2 weeks.
That's so insane.
It was nuts.
And yeah, it's funny, cause I kind of, like I said, I had a few conversations, with the dudes in 2013. And so I found out about them, and like musically, I was like, oh, you know, that's cool. It's a Warped Tour band. It's, you know, them and like Black Veil Brides. And I'm like, man, these people are really making this shit happen. Like bringing all these kids in, people are going nuts.
Yeah.
And, but I didn't really know much about the music. I didn't follow the music all that much. And then when this new album came out, man, I've been jamming it big time. It's my favorite of the releases.
Yeah, it's mine too, and not because like I had anything to do with it. Like if I heard it as a fan,
because I did it.
Because like if I heard it as a fan, I'd be like, oh, this is the best album.
Like, dude, there's just a lot of raw, like real emotion vocally, and then the music is kind of, even the more upbeat stuff is still kind of got this like dark heaviness to it.
There's like a contrast. Like a lot of the more happy sounding songs, like musically, the lyrics are like very dark and like bitter. You know, which is awesome.
It's, and like, I just relate to that sort of thing where it just seems like there's just a lot of raw emotion in it. You know what I'm saying? And not to like take away from anything previously, but I just feel like this is like, when I heard it, I was like, this is real, 100%.
Yeah.
Like the real deal. Like you can feel the pain of a guy writing these songs.
Right. It's more mature. Like for sure. Like we definitely went in and we were like, me and him just kind of had the same like tastes, you know, like we were kind of in the same place where it was like, we were doing a song Superhero, and there's a, like a bridge in it, a very Muse sounding bridge. And he was like, you know, before I wrote the bridge or whatever, he was like, oh yeah, we should do a guitar solo here. And I was like, no, let's not do a guitar solo. And he's like, dude, that's like never been said. Like every time that I'm like, let's do a guitar solo, the dude's like, yeah, okay. Like, or you know,
let's
what I mean?
Do two of them. Well, we'll do two of them right now.
The dude before me, like, is a crazy guitarist. He's insane. So he loved like shredding and stuff. Like, that's what his new band is. It's just shredding. And it's like ridiculously good. But it's like crazy guitar work.
Right.
And I can do that stuff. I just was at a place where I was like, after doing that for so many years, like playing the sweeps and all this kind of crap, I was like bored of it. You know what I mean? I was just bored.
Right.
I was like more interested in writing a good chord progression with like a good like melody over it than like doing a bunch of crazy tapping sweeps, all this stuff. Like it just bored me to death. Like I was right. Like, I don't know. So.
And plus too, I mean, don't mean to cut you off, but you know, really there's time and place for everything. And yes, you don't have to play 10,000 notes to get the same point across as like just one, you know.
Well, dude, some of the most
A chord or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
that's AC/DC talking about them. That's the beauty of their band.
Yeah,
is the simplicity in just the riffs. And why I like Black Sabbath so much is like they're just, there's like nice heavy simplicity in what they're doing. And it's still heavy, and exactly. Black Sabbath was like the heaviest band ever for a long time, you know.
Right.
And
we were just kind of in the same place where we were like, let's not do any screaming. Like, that's dead. It's dead. I mean, it's not dead, but to us, it was just like, God, how many more times can I just do a Cookie Monster vocal? Like, I'm over it.
Right.
And I was like, I'm over guitar solos. I mean, I'll still, like you said, time and place. Like, if a song calls for a solo, I'm going to do a solo.
Right.
But I'm not going to do the solo just to, to please my ego kind of thing. Like, there's so, the song I Hate Everyone, the solo's very Slash, right. Angus Young sounding. And, at first I started, shredding some notes, and I was just like, no. That is not what this song needs. And I did, a Slash solo, and sent it to Ronnie. I was like, is this good? And he was just like, keeping it.
Yeah.
Done.
The solos that are on the album, even though there's not very many that I picked up on.
Yeah, there's only 3 or 4.
Yeah, super tasteful. Super tasteful.
That's what I want. I was like, I want to compliment the vocal melody, because right. Ronnie's such a good melody writer. Like, his melodies are so memorable. Even if you don't like the band, I just feel like you can't go, that band sucks. You're just like, they're all right. Not my cup of tea. They're good at what they do. Like, I've had so many people message me, especially in during Warped Tour, and they'd be like, dude, I hate your band, but you guys sounded amazing. And I had this song stuck in my head now. And I'm just like, that's good enough for me, dude.
Yeah, awesome.
That's good. So we were both in the same place, and we just wanted to do, especially him, it's kind of Ronnie's the maestro, you know what I mean? But not the previous dude I mentioned, Jonathan, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Ronnie actually knows what he's doing, obviously. Right. They're huge. But, he is the primary songwriter, you know what I mean? I like to explain it, he's, the sundae, and I'm, the cherry on top. He's every other ingredient.
Right.
I'm just, or maybe the stem of the cherry. Maybe I just deserve that much. But, he writes, pretty much everything, you know what I mean? And I was just there to help his vision come alive if I could, you know? There's right. definitely little touches, sprinkles of me all over the album, but I wasn't there to get in his way.
Right.
And we were both in the same place, and magic was happening. When we were in the studio, it was just magic, dude. Everything was just coming along like that.
It just all fell into place.
Every idea seemed to work. We did so many songs, and
when you work together, not get in each other's way or let egos when everybody knows what they're doing and is working towards getting it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm the first person that's done I think Derek wrote a couple riffs, but I'm pretty much the first person in that band to write anything for the band outside of Ronnie.
That's insane.
I wasn't there for it, but he pretty much wrote the first 3 albums by himself. It was him and a producer, and they wrote everything. Maybe a couple riffs here and there, you know what I mean? But for the most part, he wrote all of it. So I was the first person to come in and write anything. So he was just stoked to because the shoes I were feeling were really big. The dude I was replacing, Jackie, is obviously an insane shredder.
Right.
He's way better than I'll ever be. And I was just kind of okay, well, the fans are going to expect me to be him on steroids. I have to be Jackie 2.0.
Right. Exactly.
That's what they think. And I was I'm not giving them that. I'm doing a curveball. I'm going to sing on the album. I'm going to help write. I'm not going to do mini solos. And when I do, they're not going to be all shredding. You know what I mean? It was a total curveball. But I wanted to do that on purpose, because I was dude, I'm not going to come in here and just try to play more notes than him. That's such a waste.
And where's that going to lead anyway? You played 10,001 notes.
Right.
You know?
I'd had no inclination to do that. I was just I'm going to do something completely different.
I'm just going to come in and help write the best album.
Yeah.
In the discography.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was mostly Ronnie, but I had something to do with it. Yeah.
I mean, there's something to say for that. I mean, yeah, Ronnie's the maestro, but you helped, you were there.
Yeah.
You were in it.
And I definitely I learned so much from writing or helping write this album. I learned how to write a melody. I didn't know how to do that before. It was right. just scales. It was just random notes in the scale. And now I get the flow of a melody.
You understand the science behind it.
You know? It's the dude who writes all the Britney Spears stuff. What's his name? Max Martin. He said there's a formula. And I feel I learned the formula, or a formula at least. Maybe not his, but I learned something with that album, being there writing it with him or whatever. So now with our next album, I feel I'm going to contribute way more, and I'm pretty excited for it.
That's awesome. And right there, that's where we're going to stop for part one of the Shaun vs. Wild podcast. And we're going to come back for a part two, maybe a part three. It just depends on how long this night's going to turn out.
Sounds good.
You know what I'm saying? Because we just barely cracked the surface here. Yeah. I've only asked like three questions.
Right. And it's been like 2 hours.
So, guys, if you like what you hear, check out Shaun vs. Wild podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, all your favorite podcast applications. And check out the brand new Falling in Reverse album, Coming Home. And I'm going to be back next week. I don't know, maybe in a couple days. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sit on this for so long, having multiple parts. Didn't expect that. But stay tuned for part two. And Christian, I want to just thank you here. I know you don't do very many interviews. You told me that. So I want to thank you for doing half of an interview. And I'm going to thank you in advance for doing the second half or third.
For sure.
Or one third.
Yeah.
Or what have you.
However many.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Shaun vs. Wild podcast.